take him wherever though. Everywhere make him known. I wanna make some clones. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Modeling Christ alone. I take his name around everywhere I go. Every city, every town, I will make him known. His mission got me bound, trying to make some clones. Model Christ alone. Yo, 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 we are back. Episode 71 of the Not the Same Podcast Bible Study, hosted by this one word. See Micah and that one word over there, Mr. Rob Redeem. We're glad and gracious and very happy to be back with you, man. Man, this will be a good one. But, you know, we're going to just salute everybody for anybody that's watching right now, because we had a few technical difficulties coming in, man. But we started on time, brother. We started on time.
Hell yeah.
And God did. You know, he did it, man. More than what Khaled be talking about. We ain't studying him. You know what I'm saying? But if you're watching us right now on YouTube or on Facebook, do us a favor and do what you see on the screen. Hit a, it's gonna move. Here you go, hit the like button. If you have not liked the Not the Same Podcast, also subscribe. If you have not subscribed, and lastly, hit that notification bell to be notified when we are live on the Not the Same Podcast, especially for Bible studies as well as any other thing we're doing, man. So, yeah, do that. Do that.
We also want to give a shout out to our rebroadcasters, man, on MTMV Femo, Life Show TV, Takeover Radio, Praise 365 Radio, Parable Radio, RYC Praise News, His Hop Radio and Podcast Network, as well as the 520 Collective. Shout out to our rebroadcasters, man.
Big salute. All right, man, look, we're going to go in, man. My brother is fighting some symptoms, man, but God going to make him strong in the name of Jesus. We're going to go ahead and be, in the name of Jesus, be committed what God has given us, man. I think got an on-time word. If not for you, for me. That's normally how it works, man. But it's what we're dealing with tonight is the cost of the anointing. The cost of the anointing. And we'll be coming from quite a few scriptures, man. Before we get into it, I'm going to go on and pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this Bible study. We thank you, Lord, for the goodness of your grace, Father God, that you have shown so gladly on me and my brother. Father, we know without you, we are absolutely nothing. Father, we ask, Lord, that you anoint my words, anoint my brother's word, anoint us to be keen and sharp to your spirit. We thank you, Lord, for every person who sees this now or later or whenever they see it, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that your intended purpose will go forth, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for your grace. Allow us to decrease so you will increase. Even in this show, in the name of Jesus, and I thank you, Lord, for a special anointing for my brother. Give him strength wherever he's weak, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, for the equipping for us to do what we need to do tonight. In Jesus' Lord. Name.
Jesus' name.
Excuse me. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so what we're doing here, like I said, this is a Bible study on the subject of the cost of the anointing. That is a heavy weight and a heavy cost to be anointed, and all of us have been anointed in some way. We all have been. And what the anointing means, we're going to particular definitions, but what the anointing means in so many words is either choosing, like God chose you, like the president be anointed into office. So you go from before, I forget who was for Trump. I can't remember who was for Trump, whoever, and then they anointed Trump into office, or Trump was in office, then they anointed Biden into office. That's one example of someone being anointed. Then the other example is being gifted. You know what I'm saying? And you can tell these people are different than normal folks. You know what I'm saying? They have a particular gifting, and all of us have some type of gifting. You know, God is not a respecter of person, but he is respecter of faith and anointing. You dig what I'm saying? But yeah, so we're gonna dig into that, man. Let's we're gonna get into the web definition of the anointing.
Go all ahead, right. Bro. To choose by, or as if by divine election, anoint him as his successor, also to designate as if by a ritual.
So in the same way as the Webster say, like I was talking about a presidential election, you know, they say this person is anointed into office or designated into office. That's one way of seeing it. You know, a lot of times we saw anointing in the early church, you know, or the Old Testament, those times, it was more of a sense of like David being anointed king, but he was not the king. He was out there shepherding sheep, but God had chose him, and so God chose him and anointed him to be king, but he didn't actually walk into his kingship till years later after many mistakes and failings or whatever, but he still was a man after God's own heart. Remember that. We're going to the biblical definition next, bro. Here we go.
The anointing is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. It enables the believer to understand, apply, and administer spiritual truth. Simply put, the presence of the anointing enables believers to have a spiritual connection.
That is a great, great definition. This is something different than even what I sent you in the notes, brother, but I got this from, there's a popular pastor by the name of Tony Evans. I really like this definition of the anointing because, you know, the anointing is tied with the Holy Spirit. It's a, kind of the way God speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. You know, all of it's part of the Godhead or the Trinity, but it's the way it flows. And I think such a great definition, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. It enables the believer to understand, apply, and administer spiritual truth. These things happen also as well. Once you get saved, you know, a lot of people, when they before they're saved, they try to read the Bible. And it's like, I don't get it. It don't make sense. And it's not, you know, the stories in the Old Testament ain't lined up in right order. And, you know, it don't read like my Harry Potter book. Well, one, it's not a Harry Potter book. But, right, what, you right. know, they kind of look at it like, okay, it's not making sense. And then you receive Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. And he places a particular anointing on you, all of a sudden the Bible looks different. The pages look different. The words look different. It becomes alive, you know, because it's a living book. You feel what I'm saying? So, anyway, yeah. Go ahead, bro, if you got something.
And then the other thing is, for those who don't know what the Godhead is or the Trinity that we're speaking of, it's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because I know there's some people who watch the Bible study who may not be well-versed in the scriptures or what certain things mean. So when my brother says Godhead or Holy Spirit, I mean Godhead or Trinity, he's talking God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. All right, so we'll be going to three sections tonight. God willing, we'll get to all three of them. But the first one would be recognize that you've been anointed or have been anointed. The next one we'll be going to is recognize how you must protect your anointing. And lastly, recognize that your anointing is a major threat. All right, so starting here with recognize that you'll be anointed. That's one of the things that you have to get. A lot of people have this self, I'm not cursing here, damnation of themselves, right? And it's like, I'm no good. I'm not worth nothing. I never be nothing because people have told them that all their life. But there's not a talentless person. There's more talented people, but it's not a talentless. Everybody has some gifting and something.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I give an example. My brother's wife, she can do shirts and help her design clothes. That's a talent. That's a gifting. That's not her job. It's a gifting, though. And when I say she's anointed to do it, some people got a printing press and it look okay. And some people got a printing press and look just like a professional shirt, what I get. Because right. There's an anointing. There's a gifting on someone to do it. As an example, my brother's wife. You know what I'm saying? In the same way. So, you know, there's differences in there. God has anointed me, you know, not just speak and orate the gospel, but also I can do graphics. I can do other things. You know, he's giving me giftings. My brother, he always have these words. You know, bro, I got a word for you. And no matter what's going on, this brother got a word. One of the first things I heard from him is this one word had a word. You know, but it's the way the Lord uses him, gives him words. You know what I'm saying? So everybody has these particular giftings, man, and we all equipped with it. All right, before we get to the scriptures, brother, you got anything?
No, you silly, man. Go ahead.
So the first scripture we'll be going to is 1 Peter 2 and 9. 1 Peter 2 and 9. Let me, my button's looking different. All right, here we go, Rita. 1 Peter 2 and 9.
But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light.
So like I said, one of the definitions is more, it's kind of more than one definition of versions of the word anointing. One of it is the choosing. And I want you to know, one anointing, the God chose you. He literally chose you. He called you a royal priesthood. You're in the bloodline of kings. You know what I'm saying? Not just Jesus, kings, plural. And once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you get into that bloodline. You different. You ain't the same as everybody else. You have been chosen. That is one of the anointings that, and there are many giftings that you may have, but that one anointing that he chose you, first and foremost, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. You know what I'm saying? You ever heard the term, you know, you was bought with a price? Like, you're his. No matter what you do, you'll be his. The moment that you accepted or consented to his, the wooing, I can't think of the right word, but the pulling of the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart. The moment you said, I do, or basically, I accept, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You became God's very own possession. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You became something totally different. Totally different. Go ahead, bro.
No, just the gift. The one thing you said, like, the gift comes without repentance. And then, mm-hmm. and then if you do answer that calling and accept him, like, you're worth it. He's given you your measure of faith and that anointing as well once you've already been equipped with the gift.
100%. Next, we'll be going to Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. Bro, if you got to pull it up, let me know
Ephesians
where I'm going
2:10? Okay, yeah, I got to pull it up.
Not if you got Ephesians pulled. I'm just saying, you know, where
yeah,
we're going.
Yeah, I got you.
Because I'm talking to
you. You know, I'm ready.
My boy, ready. All right. Here we go, bro.
For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago.
Once again, you are his masterpiece. You're not his stepchild. You're not his footstool. You're not his forgotten about. You ain't the one part of the bad batch, you know, for the Star Wars fans or whatever. But you're not one of the ones, the rejects. No matter how bad mm-hmm. you feel, I don't care if you got disability. I don't care if you have ailments. I don't care if you cerebral palsy. You was created for a purpose. You know what I'm saying? I seen this man. There's this man. I don't know what his name is. He ain't got no arms, no feet. He traveled the world preaching. You know what I'm talking about? You know, he got a little bitty. He basically got a torso. These little, you know, he only got four developed arms. He hold the mic right here and he be preaching and going, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody got a purpose. You know, it don't matter whatever withdrawal or holdback that you think you have. It is not stopping the plan of God and the anointing he placed on your life in the sense of this sense, the anointing that he chose you out of everybody else.
I think the awesome part about that, even in our ailments, because a lot of times we look at ourselves and we know our wrong. We know our parts about our body we don't like or mm-hmm. parts about us that we don't like. And even in that, just giving that example about that particular pastor, he's still doing it with his ailment. So the question right. would be, what's your excuse? You know what I mean? Because he's already equipped you for it.
He has, man. A lot of people, a lot of us, man, a lot, and especially people that's been saved for a while, we'd be like, all right, Lord, I'll go reach the world, but you know, I got this back. You know what I'm saying? I'll go reach the world, but I can't put this cigarette down. I go reach the world, but I got to do this. But God said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, get this right, get this straight, preach the gospel. You know what I'm saying?
Amen to that. Yeah, man.
Keep on preaching it. You know what I'm saying? Where are we going next, bro?
2 Corinthians 5:17.
All right. All right, go ahead. 5:17, brother.
All right. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun.
Go to 18, too.
And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciliation, reconciling people to him. I'm sorry.
Right. So once again, God, you have become a whole new person when you have accepted Christ, became part of the body and became a Christian. All this is a gift. This is a gifting for God. Like I said, the anointing is a choosing and it's kind of like a gifting. You know what I'm saying? Like it's something on you. Now we'll get into more depth in other ways the anointing shows up, but I'm just saying in general, I'm showing you that the biggest anointing you got that you was chosen by God. My God. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because none of the rest of them are gonna really matter if you weren't chosen by him and you didn't accept his offering. You feel me?
Yeah, no doubt about that one. Deuteronomy 14:2.
All right.
You have been set apart, on my fault. You have been set apart as holy to the Lord your God, and he has chosen you from all the nations of the earth to be his own special treasure.
Once again, reiterating, you were chosen. You were chosen. You know what I'm saying? Just like why I say an example of the anointing. God anointed David as a child of all his brothers. You know, he's out there tending to the sheep, and they say, well, you don't want David. You got to have this brother. He's strong, and he's this or whatever. And he said, no, I want David. And God anointed him as a young man to be a king, and then he didn't walk into his kingship till much later. And I'm showing that you were chosen before the foundations of the earth. God chose you. You the listener. You the watcher. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he chose you before this earth was even created, he decided to keep you, to bring you into his family and to his body. So, man, it's a great thing.
A very great thing. When you bring up the David situation, he was tending to the sheep. They had to go and get David. Mm-hmm. And when he got done getting anointed, David was like, I go tend to the sheep. So just right. because you're anointed for something, like, don't despise humble beginnings or small beginnings if you got something going on. If God told you to do it, do it. Our problem is we want it now, and God could be showing you something that's to come. Like with David, he was like, all right, cool, I'm anointed. God bless. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, Dad, I'm going back up the hill to, you know, tend to these sheep to do my job. So just because God is anointing you for a future anointing for something else, don't despise what you're doing now. Still continue to give your all in it. And David was a perfect example of that.
Did we catch 2 Corinthians 5 and 17?
No, yeah, I wasn't on there.
Yeah,
we did. We just read 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 okay. before we went to Deuteronomy. Okay. Now we're going to 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. But it's going to recognize how you must protect your anointing is where we at now.
All right, but before we go there, man, I just want to say, I was pointing out the fact of the anointing, you being chosen in that way. There's also anointing, like anointing or equipping to do something. For example, we're doing a Bible study tonight. My brother is feeling sick at the time, you know what I'm saying, fighting some symptoms. I ain't going to call full sickness on him, but fighting symptoms. His voice is working because God equipped him to do that. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired. I've been to work all day, but there's equipping to do the work. That's another anointing, like the equipping to do the work. In other words, was it, y'all remember The Matrix? And on The Matrix, when somebody was like, man, you know, I don't know Kung Fu or whatever, and they said, put this patch in. And they stuck the thing in the back of the head, and all of a sudden, this dude turned into basically Bruce Lee. He was equipped for that particular assignment. You know what I'm saying? That's an example of the anointing. Like, you get equipped to, like, okay, hey, I ain't never been a roller skater, but God wants you to reach these roller skaters. You know, all of a sudden, you get to skating just a little bit better, still bust your head. But you do a little bit better because he got a plan for you to reach this particular person. I'm giving that as a goofy example, but I'm just showing you different ways how the anointing can be equipping for you to do something. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, amen, amen to that, man. You, the move you hit, though, when you... recognize how you must protect your anointing.
All right, yeah, next section we're going to recognize how you must protect your anointing. Once you recognize you've been anointed, you've been chosen, you've been set apart, you must protect it. You know what I'm saying? And when I say in this sense, it could be your salvation, protect it. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. When I mean protect it, you're not going to lose your salvation. But don't be out there wrecking it neither, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't saying, you know, the only way you lose your salvation, you just denounce Jesus, then you're going to lose it, and it ain't going to be here. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you have to protect your anointing. You got to protect what God has given you. You got to protect your life. And yeah, I say this all the time when we do these Bible studies. A lot of times, God will give us a Bible study, it'd be like just tearing me up. Because yep. I always got to think about, I got to protect this. You know, because you are, and a lot of times we'll make the anointing like our reputation. It ain't our reputation. Anointing right. is what God has given you, because we'll get it confused. Like, well, I got to protect, you know, I got the reputation as a man of God, and I got to protect that. And that got to look right. It's less about the reputation as a man of God. It's more about the gospel. You know what I'm saying? The representation of Jesus beyond your particular self representation as I'm a man of God. It's about we protecting what Jesus looked like. And is anything I'm doing, is anything that me or my brother is doing, or anybody, anything you're doing is pulling away from the representation of God, then that's a problem. That's a big problem.
Yeah, that's good stuff, bro, because I think sometimes we can, as believers, as Christians, man, I think sometimes we are so worried about the Christian image that we forgetting about our godly stance and how we looking, you know, to the Father, you know, because we can look right to the public, but is your heart right? You know what I mean? And I think sometimes we forget about that. So that's good stuff.
It's very, very important, man. And, you know, I don't want to rush through this, but it's very, very important that you protect it, because so many times we get relaxed. You know, I am ultra guilty. You know, I'll just be like, you get to the point, man, I ain't worried. I done said on my what's good, I ain't worried about nobody. Okay, yeah, but you need to be concerned about the representation of Christ, though. You know,
yeah.
Forget me. representation of Christ, because I look at it, and this is just me personally. This is no scripture. This is me. I feel like my whole life is built on who I'm going to reach. You know what I'm saying? Who I'm going to reach for him. And if I'm not reaching somebody, what am I doing wrong? Not that it's all up to me, but if I live my life and I never reach nobody, and live my life and die without reaching nobody, I was a failure. You know what I'm saying? And when I mean reaching somebody, one somebody or compel somebody to come to say, you know what, I want to serve Jesus. If I ain't did that, I'm tripping. So I got to protect it. Because if my life, if I'm living altered to what's presented on this screen, then it's a damage. It could be a damage, bro.
Yeah. I mean, we can, 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, brother, not trying to rush you through it just to get to the scripture. No, I mean, it is a damage to the, I was just making sure you had the scripture. No, it can be a damage to it. And then at the same time, for those who are doing that, don't put yourself in such a box that you feel like you can't make a mistake either, because then that's the other extreme behind it. You know, we can look at the image, but then we so critical, so hard on ourselves that, well, I didn't get this. Like, you start putting quotas on how many souls you done won, and it's like, don't. Or they gave their life to Christ, but they didn't speak in tongues as soon as it happened. You know, like, don't.
Right.
Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you right now, don't put that on you, because we still have to live it. We still have to live this life. The anointing's not going anywhere. The Lord gives us the strength. We got to learn. Yeah. A lot of times we'll put the anointing down to fight our own battles. You know what I'm saying? And we're not as oily sometimes, but you still anointed. You know what I mean? And if y'all don't know what I mean by as oily, sometimes you're walking in the flesh and you're not walking in the spirit. And then it's not thus saith the Lord. It's thus saith, and then put your name in there.
Right. And the oily reference comes from, just for us to y'all to know, in the Old Testament, when someone's anointed, they literally poured oil on them. Like, when they anointed David as a kingdom, they said, okay, you're going to be the king. They chose you're going to be the king. And they literally poured oil on him, so much so it ran to their feet. So when I would say oily, you know, it means you covered in the oil and the anointing. And when you ain't oily, you ain't covered. I mean, that's where the saying comes from. Because what I was saying earlier when we was talking about the Trinity, so you know, just so y'all know, we ain't just talking and not explaining.
And I'll say this last thing about oily, because social media is out there, because a lot of times they make fun of this stuff, and you'll see a pastor with the anointing oil pouring it on someone's head. And it's in representation of what they did in the Old Testament. They're not just tripping. They're doing a representation. That's what happens when you get those sound bites and excerpts, and somebody only show you one piece of a sermon, and you didn't understand why he was doing it. So we may laugh at it sometimes, and it'd be like, this is the black church. No, it's a representation of the Old Testament and how David was anointed and how everybody else gets anointed. Sometimes it gets twisted, though, on social media and other platforms as well.
Absolutely. All right. We are on 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, brother.
Yes, sir. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? I'll let you scroll a little bit. And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. God said, I will live in them.
Hold on. I'm scrolling up for you.
I will live in them, and I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people.
Gotcha.
Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you.
My bad. Here we go.
And I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty.
All right, so what this is saying is, now, you know, if you read this scripture and you're isolated and only do that, that means you'll never deal with the world, ever. Ever. But there's also other scriptures say we are in this world, but not of it. So scriptures interpret scripture, like my brother Rob always say that. That's very, very important, because I don't want y'all to just isolate this and be like, oh no, I'm wrong. I'm around the world. Oh, I'm at work. I'm in the world. Listen, yes, you're going to be in the world. How you going to ever win anybody to Jesus if you ain't operating in the world? But he's saying, don't go into the world or worldly ways, or basically fleshly ways. Don't become what you're trying to help. You know what I'm saying? What you're trying to say, what you're trying to show a way out. Don't get stuck. Like, if you're trying to get somebody out the river that's flooding, and you trying, you got 1 foot on the ground and 1 foot in the water, you trying to help him out, don't get in the water and be stuck in the water and mess around. You ain't on the ground no more because you got swept away with what's going on. That's a good example of what I'm saying of not being fully in the world. That's what that is trying to say. And this is a one way to protect your anointing. Be careful of who you mingle with. You know, one of the first things they said up here, it was like, hold on, let me go back to, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. So, all right, you got to be careful with that. I'm not going to say don't ever, and I'm not trying to go against the word, the scripture. I've read plenty of scriptures. So, you got to justify them with other scriptures. It's all right to help unbelievers. But what I'm saying is, and you be careful when you marry them. And I'm not saying, talking about holy matrimony, Mary. You getting real, real linked up business partnership with somebody that don't have no God and no reverence of God. Be careful with that, my guy. You know what I'm saying? It's different with somebody who's backslidden or that's fighting or struggling, and they have a reverence for God, but they struggling. But when you got somebody that got no reverence for God, they ain't going to have no reverence for the God in you. So at the same time, they going to say they love you, but they hate you at the same time because they hate your God. And we got to be careful about that. You know what I'm saying? Because that's why I'm saying, what harmony can it be between Christ and the devil? The only thing I can do with people that don't love God is try to win them. But then if they don't want to be won, you know, your boy going to be gone, as Rob say. I got to get on up out of there. Because if you don't go and you don't flee, you become that. That's what we got to be careful of. Go ahead, bro.
I think the biggest thing, a lot of times you'll hear Christians, and I'm talking to the body, use the excuse, well, Jesus hung out with the sinners, and Jesus did. When Jesus was around sinners, he was letting his light shine. But when Jesus departed, when it was time for him to go and rest, he was young with believers. He was with the disciples, teaching them. He was out there ministering whenever he was around sinners. So yes, he was eating with tax collectors and doing all that. Yes. And if you look at it in today's time, it's like you could say type and shadow of us today. You go to work around unbelievers. You go out to eat, there's unbelievers, whatever the case may be. But when you go back to your place of your home or whatever the case may be, you need to be around other believers so that you may be strengthened.
Yeah, and that's good.
That's key. But I know a lot of Christians that use that as an excuse to do whatever they want to do. Well, Jesus, I'm out here with I'm out here in these streets because that's where Jesus was. That's cool. But when you go back home, you got to lead the streets in the streets and get back into the word. Because whenever Jesus separated from everybody, what was he doing? Back to prayer. He, you know what I mean? He was back in prayer, back to talking to the Father, back in communion with the disciples, encouraging them and equipping them so they can go out and win more disciples.
Yeah. So all of this, man, is in an effort to protect the anointing God has given you. Protect your salvation. Protect what God has entrusted you with. You know what I'm saying? And not that you can lose it, but fall off and fall back into sin. And then there's a danger of you just saying, forget it. I'm thinking of somebody right now, I won't name a name, that was an on-fire believer. Came to my house one time, spent the night from out of town one time. Good brother. Don't believe no religion right now. Nothing. Not God, not, I don't trust none of it. This man was on fire, speaking in tongues. 6 years later, don't trust nothing. One little thing. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times we think, oh, it's just this. It ain't no big deal. But I gave the example of that water moving. That water always moving. And you think you can just step in for a minute, and I'm going to hop right on back out. But in that rapid water, you get in and you slip, you gone. And then next thing you know, that dude, like a friend of mine, I call that a brother, totally denied the fullness of anything. That brother didn't go from Christian to Jehovah's Witness or whatever, Catholic none of y'all. He ain't studied none of them. You know what I'm saying? That's scary. And we could say, God forbid it be me. God forbid it be my brother. We act like, oh, that'll never happen. Okay, be careful. We got to watch it, man. We got to be very watchful of that.
But on the flip side, before we go on to Romans 12 and 1, by the way, but on the flip side, we got another brother who did fall away for a moment, and he had hit me up. I was loving on him. We went and shot pool a few times, and now this brother back on fire all over again, and we still talking. And the one thing that we discussed was I never looked at him crazy when he backslid. I still loved on the brother, and we still chopped it up, and you know, and now he back on fire for the Lord. So I praise God. for him coming back. And I pray that, you know, your partner come back to the fold. See know who I'm talking to, but we're not going to put it, I mean, talking about, but we're not going to put it on the platform. But I'm just glad for him to be back in the kingdom.
And an example of what Rob is saying, you know, just for example, this is just a side piece. You know, if you got a friend like my particular friend that backslid, that just totally gave out, I just got to love him.
Yeah.
I ain't finna argue with him about the Bible and argue, man, you know this is wrong, but bro, you gonna mess around and bust hell wide open. And this, I just got to love him. I got to love him because the Bible said with love and kindness that by drawing them. We got to just love them in that case, man, because any script, especially a believer that really knew the word, you ain't win them back preaching at them. Because the preaching and the word ain't what drove them off. It's something, a love issue that drew them off, where they feel like God don't love them no more or something like that. They's talking about this technical thing over here, but it's really a love thing. They don't believe he loved me. I don't believe he loved me like he do. Or, you know, if he loved me, why would he let this happen? That's what most people say. You know, if he loved me, why would my mama go? He loved me, why he let my daughter pay? Or whatever it may be. You know what I'm saying? And it's not that. It's more about loving them, because it's the love that's going to break through. Because trust me, I know the brother that Rob is talking about, it's the love that's going to break through. It's going to be more than him trying to preach. That man knew the word. Yeah. Him preaching the word ain't finna do nothing. He know he going to answer what Rob is saying. But it's that love. That love is what's going to really change it, bro. All right, we are Romans. I believe that was Romans.
Romans 12:1.
Go ahead, bro.
And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him.
So this is another example of how you could protect your anointing. Give your body to God. You know what I'm saying? Don't give it to other people. Don't give it to fleshly things. Don't give it to all that. Give your life to him for real. It protects your anointing. You know, now when I'm talking about protecting your anointing, I'm not talking about living in a box. I want to point that out.
Speak on it, bro.
You know what I'm saying? And I can speak on this from this point. I've done that for years in my life. It's like, oh, you can't get in trouble. You don't ever go nowhere. You know what I'm saying? Can't get in trouble. You never do this. Or whatever, you know.
Never
happened. I do it for myself.
He ain't lying.
For years, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't even recognize, like, okay, I'm just boxed up. And freedom is not a box. Freedom is out the box. But freedom in Jesus is being able to be free and knowing that God got you, but being able to have restraints. You know what I'm saying? So let me give you an example. If you had a problem drinking and you said, I'm not drinking no more. I don't ever want to drink again. And for a time, you may be able to never go to a bar with some of your friends. Say your friends go to a bar. Maybe your coworkers go to a bar and they drink. You know what I'm saying? And for a time, you ain't gonna be able to go there. But it may be a time that you got victory and you cool and you go. You may not be able to go as long as you used to go. Maybe just put an hour in to dip out. But then you can do that because those people may need you around. And they don't need you to judge them. They know what you own, but just show them you love them. It's real important, man. Go ahead, bro.
My uncle's 50th birthday party was last Saturday.
Yep.
And I went. And I had a cousin because, you know, they asked me, they was like, you know, stand, come up and pray. Mm-hmm. And so I prayed over the food or whatever the case may be. But then my cousin, after I got done praying, I was acting silly. And he was like, that's the stand I know. Hey. Because I didn't realize that when I came around, because I don't do all the stuff that I used to do. Like my family know everything I used to do. Yeah. You know, the people that know me now don't. But they saw Stan at his worst and who I am now. And it took my uncle to explain to me the way you live your life now. A lot of people are standoffish because they don't know if you're looking down on them because they still doing what you used to do. And I didn't realize that. So after I prayed and made my little joke and my cousin made that comment, that's the stand I used to know. Then it kind of resonated with me. So it's to what you're saying. Sometimes those people do need you around. And you may not be going around trying to protect yourself for a time, but don't distance yourself so much that you can't be effective, especially to a family member, because you may be the only Christian that they see. You know what I mean? And then if you once was close and then you turn your back on everybody, then it's like, what do I want any of that for when that, it made him turn his back on his family? Now, there are certain things you just don't do. Don't get it twisted on what I'm saying. I'm not saying go around family and compromise. Right. But that did make me see that people look at you different and you gotta be mindful of that. I'm not saying worried about their opinions, but I'm just talking about the effect you can have when you go around. To C's point.
Because at the end of the day, you want to win some. You want to be effective. And you can't win them from a distance sometimes. You know, like Rob said, you may have to pull yourself away for a while, get built up, get strong, and then go in. And if you feel yourself getting weak, you might have to withdraw again for a minute and then come back. But family is family. If that's your blood, that's your blood. And if you love them, you want them to be saved. You want them to see what you see. You know, because a lot of people's biggest drawback and being saved, allowing Jesus to come in their life, but they feel like they can have no more fun. You know what I'm saying? Because their picture of what God is.
It don't exist.
It don't exist. It's not real. You know what I'm saying? Their picture of what God is not the real thing. They think God is where you have to be pruned, not doing nothing, boring. You know what I'm saying?
No, just that scripture don't exist, brother.
I know, brother. I know. I'm, if you wouldn't have said no, nobody would have known, brother. It's 1 Corinthians 6:19. It's not the wrong one.
Brother, just...
You see, I just kept going. Nobody would have known, bro. Nobody.
You know what? You just told me to help you, and I'm trying to be helpers one to another. You see what, folks, this is what pride looks like.
Yeah, now watch the scripture get on your head. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead, read the scripture.
Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself.
Keep going.
You want me to
keep
going? For God bought you with a high price so that you must honor God with your body.
Other ways, too. Protect your anointing. Recognize that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. If you look at it, while I'm doing this, the Holy Ghost is here. It's going to give you a pause. You know what I'm saying? You'll be like, dang. Now you might be, Holy Ghost, you just saw, son. But you shouldn't be like that. You know, you'd be like, oh, I need to chill out. The Holy Ghost is here. Meaning God is here and I need to chill out. We all fall. We all make mistakes. We're not condemning nobody. But it's another way to help you protect your anointing because you realize what's going on. You know what's in your body, who is living in you. When Jesus entered into your life, you accept him as your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit came to live inside you. And this is a reminder to know that. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead, bro.
I concur.
All right. We'll be going
2 Timothy 2:21.
This boy can't breathe. All right, 2 Timothy 2:21. Here we go.
I was trying not to cough, man. That's why I sound like that.
It's all good. Go ahead, bro.
All right, if you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Mm-hmm. Your life will be clean and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work.
Yes, special utensil. Other words, you have been gifted. God has made, what is utensil for? It's a tool. Yeah. You are not a tool, but you are being used by the Lord. I feel like I'm used. You will be if you say you're going to be used. Yeah. Don't get offended. You are used. You're not going to be used and thrown away, but you will be used. You know, you are a vessel fit for the master's use. So you will be a special utensil for honorable use. You know what I'm saying? For a high use. Your life will be clean and you'll be ready for the master to use you for every good work. You know what I'm saying? Now, it says a prerequisite is to be clean. God has used all kind of people that got all type of issues. Don't feel like you going to have to be perfect and spotless without no flaw and all that. Because if you found somebody, if you had no flaw, nobody going to be used. It's going to be Jesus, and there going to be one example, and that's it. Right. Paul wouldn't exist it. Peter wouldn't exist it. John wouldn't exist it. You know what I'm saying? All these people in the Bible wouldn't exist it because if you were looking for nobody without no flaw, they don't exist. Only one. He's died and rose again. He up in heaven with the Father and living in us at the same time. Make it make sense, but it makes sense. Go ahead, bro.
No, that's on point. A lot of people be like, I'll come to Jesus when I clean myself up, or I'm not ready. I got to wait till I get my life. Like, you're not going to ever get it that way. Without him, you can't. You know what I mean? And throughout the Bible, there's so many people that's just like us You know what I mean? From anger to alcoholic to lust issues to addictions, like all of that stuff is throughout the Bible. Homosexuality, all of it is all in the Bible, and it happened. That's why it's nothing new under the sun. So don't think you got to be perfect in order to come to Jesus as you are.
All right,
you
last subject.
Stay the same, but you know.
Yeah. Last subject we get into tonight. Recognize that your anointing is a major threat. The fact that God has chose you, the fact that God is putting giftings in your life, the fact that God has set you apart, make you a major threat to the enemy, demons, and people. I'm serious. People that hate God, they're going to hate you. Trust me.
Yeah.
It's a fact. You know? All right. First, we'll be going to John 15 and chapter 15 and verse 19. Hold on 1 second. All right, here we go.
All right. The world would love you as it's up. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you.
Yep. So once again, he chose us to come out of the world, but the world hates you. Trust me, you being anointed is a threat. You feel like, why I'm getting all these attacks? Why this stuff is always happening? It's always something happening. It's, you know, one, stop that complaining. Two, accept it. Go through it. But recognize you are a threat. You are not just an average Joe person walking down the street. No matter how unvalidated you feel, unworthy you feel, you are not just an average Joe walking down the street. You are someone special, and you are a threat, and the enemy wants you dead. I don't mean to be so plain, but it's the truth.
It's
he wants
the
you
truth.
Dead or just to turn away from God. But he ultimately wants both. You dead and away from God and down there with him. So we don't need that though.
No, that says it right there, bro. 1 Samuel 26:1-9.
All right. All right. So now this is gonna be, I'm telling you right now, brother, gonna be a lot of reading, but this is the story of David and Saul. Now, when David became king or was becoming king, he had a lot of issues with people hating him, trying to take him up out of here. And, you know, and he could have reciprocated that with Saul because Saul was beyond a thorn in his side. You know, he was a problem. And this is what we're going to get into the story that. So that's the first part. Go ahead, bro.
All right, folks, this is the Old Testament. Y'all bear with me with these names. That's
now,
what they're going to be
Living Translation,
today.
So it may help you out a little bit.
Yeah, it may help me a little bit, but here we go.
Here we go.
Now, some men from Ziph came to Saul in Gibeah to tell him David is hiding on the hill of Hakilah, which overlooks Jeshimon. So Saul took 3,000 of Israelites' elite troops and went to hunt him down in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul camped along the road beside the hill of Hakilah near Jeshimon, where David was hiding.
Pause David, 1 second.
Yeah.
This example. Saul took 3,000 people to come after David.
No, elite.
Yeah, elite troops.
Not just anybody, bro.
To the wilderness of Ziph, wherever that was. First time I heard of Ziph. 3,000 elite troops, not just little dude. 3,000 the rocks. You know what I'm saying? Swole right. Dude, 3,000 Aquamanes. You know what I'm saying? All right, bro, carry on.
Where David was hiding. When David learned that Saul had come after him into the wilderness, he sent out spies to verify the report of Saul's arrival.
Come roll up for you. Here we go.
Yep. David slipped over to Saul's camp one night to look around. Saul and Abner, son of Ner, the commander of his army, were sleeping inside a ring formed by the slumbering warriors. Who will volunteer to go in with me? David asked Achimelech. Ahimelech? Yeah, okay.
I believe it's Ahimelech and
Hittite. Yeah.
Oh boy, speaking in tongues over there. All right,
hold up, the Hittite. Abishai, son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother. Yeah, they about to get all nicknames in a minute. I'll go with you. I'll go with you, A replied. So David and A went right into Saul's camp and found him asleep with his spear stuck in the ground beside his head. Abner and the soldiers were lying asleep around him.
Hold on, my bad, bro.
Yeah, God surely handed your enemy over to you this time, A whispered to David. Let me pin him to the ground, and with one thrust of the spear, I won't need to strike twice.
Last one.
No, David said, don't kill him, for who can remain innocent after attacking the Lord's anointed one? That's deep.
So, start of this story. Saul sent 3,000, the voice said, Navy SEALs.
Navy SEALs.
to come take out David. Yeah. Saul was somewhere asleep. David, man, slid in. David right there. He said, look, dog, I can hold on the ground. You thrust the spear one time. You ain't got to do it but one time. He out of here. What did David say? What did David say? Yeah. Who can remain innocent after attacking the Lord's anointed? Or, you know, touch not my anointed. But that's basically what it's coming from. The Lord's anointed one. Saul was anointed king at that time. And yep. David recognized the anointing on his life. Though this anointed one, this is another example. Anointed people can sin.
Yes, they can.
Anointed people can mess up.
Say that again, bro. Because
anointed
I think
people
some
can
people,
sin.
Yes, and this is a problem.
Anointed people can mess
though.
Up.
They can.
The gifts of God are come without repentance. They're gifts. And he's not, they're gifts. I'm just going to say it that way. You know right. what I'm saying? So, crazy thing right there. Once again, David said, no, don't kill him, for who can remain innocent after attacking the Lord's anointed one? That is deep. We're going to go more into this story. We're going to end up scrolling down to, I didn't do that.
No, that's we got, it. That's in Genesis where we're going to scroll down.
Genesis. All right, so
hey,
this
folks,
is.
I want to say this. I know I just went with the first initials, so but I don't want
to.
If I offended
we
someone,
we're not trying to offend nobody.
We're not trying to offend nobody. I'm just not getting ready to go through it tonight. I apologize, but y'all get the gist of what we're talking about. As long as y'all get the message out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, man. Now we're going to Genesis 37, 5
the
through 8.
The voice is, he's silly.
Yeah, he's silly. I know.
Genesis 37.
I tried to act like I ain't see it. That is silly. Genesis 30, hold on. There we go.
37, 5 through 8.
Here we go. Now, this is the story of Joseph. It's another story of someone God had anointed, and them haters was coming. Go ahead, bro.
Family at that. One
family,
night, Joseph had in the family. One night, Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Mm. Listen to this dream, he said. We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly my bundle stood up and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. His brothers responded, so you think you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them.
Mm. First thing here. I'm going to say this. This is a side note. You can't share your vision with everybody, my guy.
Not with everybody. We in the vein right there, brother.
He had a gifting to interpret dreams. Further on, you keep reading the story, he interpreted the king's dreams. You know what I'm saying? He's a very gifted man. And you're going to see what these giftings almost got him. But next we going to, because he's talking too much.
Yeah, scrolling down to 18 is what we're
scroll
going.
Down to 18.
He talking too much, and then this is the other side note. Whenever you be like, man, my family just don't seem to want me to win. Not everybody is happy for you when God gives you a vision. That's why you got to keep it to yourself. Mm-hmm. If you give your vision to somebody that God gave you, and the first thing out somebody's mouth is, you can't, that ain't, you should, never tell them again.
Never tell
you
them
You do what
again.
God, you it, go where you celebrate it, not tolerate it. I'm telling you that right now, and if God's giving you something, continue to stand on the promise.
Yeah.
Even when they question you, stand on the promise, continue praying, and you get what Joseph got.
All right, 18, brother.
When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance. As he approached, they made plans to kill him. Here comes the dreamer, they said. Come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns. We can tell our father a wild animal has eaten him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. But when Reuben heard of this scheme, of their scheme, he came to Joseph's rescue. Let's not kill him, he said. Why should we shed any blood? Let's just throw him into the empty cistern here in the wilderness. Then he'll die without our laying a hand on him. Reuben was secretly planning to rescue Joseph and return him to his father. So when Joseph arrived, his brothers ripped off the beautiful robe he was wearing.
Pause. So the beautiful robe he's wearing, Joseph, and you ever heard the play Joseph in the Technicolor Dream Coat? He had a coat of many colors, which is very different at those times. His father loved him. Joseph was like the baby. You know how a lot of people love their baby boy. And their father loved them. All them brothers was hating super bad. And when he came out there with that coat of many colors, oh, nah. Who he think he is? So that's the coat he's talking about, the beautiful robe he was wearing.
Yeah. Scroll down a little bit. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Then they grabbed him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. Then just as they were sitting down to eat, they looked up and saw a caravan of camels in the distance coming toward them. It was a group of Ishmaelite traders taking a load of gum, balm, and aromatic.
Bro, I was trying to slide up.
Yeah, my bad.
I lost it my own self. Go ahead, bro. There we go.
It was a group of Ishmaelite traders taking a load of gum, balm, aromatic resin from Gilead down to Egypt.
Well, you ain't ever heard the song. There's a bomb in
Gilead. Stop it. I thought they were saying like bomb for the longest. Go ahead. Go up. I'm sorry. Hey, why are they trying to blow Gilead? Why are we singing about this blowing?
Okay, focus this Bible study.
Scroll up. I'm telling you, brother.
Hey, scroll. Leave it alone.
When I was a babe, bro, it was a lot of stuff I wasn't understanding.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I ain't going to lie. I'm messing with you.
Judah said to his brothers, what will we gain by killing our brother? We have to cover up the crime. Instead of hurting him, let's sell him to those Ishmaelite traitors. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood. And his brothers agreed. So when the Ishmaelites, who were Midianite traders, came by, Joseph's brothers pulled them out of the cistern and sold them for 20 pieces of silver, and the traders took them to Egypt.
All right, long story short, Joseph had a dream. He shared his dream with his family, his brothers, his father, and basically showed he was going to be a king, and it showed up as saying something else, but they got it. You're supposed to be a king, and they bowed to him. And they didn't like it. They got mad. His father loved him. He gave him a special coat. They got so mad, we're going to kill this one word. Somebody stepped in. Reuben, salute to our brother Reuben, stepped in and said, nah, let's don't kill him. We just throw him in a cistern. What he was saying is a pit. It's basically a water pit. And there was a water pit without no water in it. They threw him in there. And then somebody was walking by. There was some Midianite traders, and they sold him for 20 cents, basically. A 20 piece of silver, I don't know how much that is in today's day. I'd be generous, $20 maybe. I don't know. If I'm wrong, y'all check me. But it wasn't considered a lot of money. No man should be sold for any money, to be honest. But they sold their own brother for that, all because of the anointing that was on his life, and the anointing threatened them. That was the thing. It caused all that jealousy. It caused all that anger because the anointing that God placed on his life. This man was interpreting dreams. He was blessed. He was, you know, the Bible also said he was good looking. You know what I'm saying? They like, man, I'm ugly. My teeth crooked. Why he got blue eyes? All of us got brown hair. Our eyes brown. I'm just saying, for example, his eyes were blue. For y'all get all deep. I'm kidding. I'm just giving an example, dog. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure his eyes are probably brown from that part of town. But I'm just saying, for example, you know, he's just different than the other ones. And it caused great jealousy was in his family because of the anointing that was on his life, man. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, so it was 200 is what the 20 pieces is worth, $200 nowadays.
Okay.
So $200 he was sold, but like my brother said, should nobody be sold. But it still happens today. You know, when we talk about, we said it earlier, nothing new under the sun.
Nothing.
This type of jealousy still happens today, and that's why it's very important to protect your anointing at all costs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So the moral of the story for this whole Bible study, man, is that one, the anointing shows up in many different ways, but basically it's God choosing you. The fact that you got saved, there's anointing on you because you got saved. He chose you. You, number one. Number two, there could be a gifting on you. You may be anointed for a purpose to do something. Joseph had the ability and the anointing to dream dreams. And what happened at the end of Joseph's story, there was a famine in the land. Joseph found favor with a king. He had favor with a king, got put in jail, interpreted a dream, got out of jail. Somebody's wife tried to sleep with him. He had to run. You know what I'm saying? He went through all kinds of stuff. But at the end of the day, he was on the highest level of the kingdom, and his brothers end up actually bowing to him. Mm-hmm. And he ended up saving his brother because he wanted to be hard with him. He ended up crying.
Yeah.
He gave him all kind of food and grain and everything they needed at the end of the story. So he went through all kinds of, I'm not cussing, hell before he got to, from, you know, I heard TDJ say this, pit to palace. And that's where he literally went from the pit to the palace. And God really did something with him. But it was all about that anointing on his life. The initial anger, the initial problem was the anointing on his life. That woman trying to get with him, anointing on his life. They mm-hmm. see it. You know what I'm saying? People see it. They don't know what it is. It's something about you. It's something mm-hmm. about him. It's something about her. You know, they think because they look good or they smell good. No, no, no. It's called the anointing. God's hand is on somebody, and they look different. They stand out. It's almost like, not literally, but it's almost like it's just a gold shimmer around somebody. It's like, man, why they standing out? You know? And when you recognize this, I've noticed this a lot in my life. I walk through a restaurant, everybody just do this. And I'll be like, man, why are they looking at me? And Chris is like, why are they looking at me? It's not because we great looking. I mean, we look all right. The anointing. It means something, bro. Go ahead,
man. It does, man. No, that's on point. It does. When you be like, it's something about that person. And now, I'm not talking about the evilness. But you'd be like, I just don't trust this person. I'm not talking about that. We talking about the anointing on people's lives when they walk into a room and it's a sense of calm. Yeah. Or their presence in a room is felt as soon as they walk in a good mm-hmm. way. A lot of times mm-hmm. it is because the anointing is on that person's life and they walk in their purpose, which is 100%. Walking in love, even when you don't want to. But the flip side of that, those are also the reasons why those people do get the attacks and people mm-hmm. don't like them for no reason, because it's the God in them that the spirit's not meshing. How can we said it earlier today? How can two walk together unless they agree? That was one of the first scriptures that C has. So when you're in the workplace and you at school or with certain family members, if you are saved and you feel with the Holy Spirit, your spirit makes people uneasy. It's not 100%. You, but that spirit in you and that spirit in them is not comfortable. So not you just gotta always remember that.
Quick review before we wrap up, man. We started with the Webster's definition of the basically definition of anointing: to choose by or as if by divine election, anoint him as a successor, also to designate as if by a ritual. So that is a sense of choosing. Like, for example, Joe Biden was anointed president after Donald Trump.
Trump.
And
right.
there was a whole ceremony and whatever, but it was anointing ceremony. That's basically what it was. And that happened in the Old Testament many times, but it was done accompanying with oil. This person is anointed. This person, they pour. This person is anointed as next king. They pour oil all over him. They was literally oily. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
and that's
right.
What happened back then. Then we had a biblical definition of the anointing is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. It enables the believer to understand, apply, and administer spiritual truth. Simply put, the presence of the anointing enables believers to have a spiritual connection. So this is speaking of the anointing as a connection with God and God's presence on you. Like I said, there's multiple definitions or flows of the anointing. Let me put it that way. So, you know, anointing could be gifts, the gifts God give you. Anointing could be the fact that God chose you. We talked about that a lot tonight, the way that God chose you with salvation and brought that to you. Also, the anointing is like the gift that Joseph had with the interpreting dreams, and he talked too much and messed around, almost got killed.
you know what I'm saying?
Or anointing flows in many different ways. We also went to our subjects. We went to recognize that you've been anointed. Went to 1 Peter 2:9, Ephesians 2:10, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and Deuteronomy 14:2. Then we went to recognize how you must protect your anointing. 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, Romans 12:1, 1 Corinthians 6:19, 2 Timothy 2:21. And lastly, we finished up with recognize that your anointing is a major threat. And we went through John 15:19, 1 Samuel 26:1-9, which is the story of David and Saul, where David could have took out Saul, but he pointed out that I can't kill God's anointed, and I should not never do that. He literally said that. And then lastly, Genesis 37:5-8 and 18-28, which was the story of Joseph and his brothers trying to get him up out of here. They ended up selling him for $200, you know, because that dreamer. We hated him and his little funky dreams. That's the way they felt about it. But before we get up out of here, man, I want to say, if you do not know Jesus, I want you to have an opportunity to know him. We don't do these Bible studies just to flex our understanding of the Bible. We don't do these Bible studies to show how smart we are. We probably, I can speak for both of us, we don't think we're that smart at all, actually. But we feel like God has anointed us to do this, and that's how we're able to do it and push through, and he gives us the wisdom, and our Bible studies comes at the most weird, unopportune times. I know Rob can agree, at the most strangest times, you get the whole message. And I thank God for that. But I want you to know that you can have Jesus in your life today. If you've been thinking about it, you've been pondering, if you did like Rob was talking about, I'm going to wait till I get old to get Jesus. Let me tell you, tomorrow is not promised. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen when you get off this show. Something can happen. You can lose your life. And I want you to know that there's one way to heaven, and it's through Jesus. Choose him today. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Don't delay. Listen. Your life will change. You don't have to be what you call churchy. You can be you. A lot of people that met Jesus, that were literally around Jesus, were still 100% them. But they love Jesus. You don't lose you. You become a better you. You know what I'm saying? And if you want to do that, this is how you do it. You can just say this with me. Father, I come to you in the name of your son, Jesus. I believe that you died on the cross and rose on the third day for me, that I'll be able to live for you. I confess you right now as my Lord and Savior, and I ask you to come into my heart and make me new. If you prayed that, you will be saved. You will be new. And welcome to the kingdom of God.
Welcome.
Get you a Bible, please. Get you a Bible and find you a church home. Don't wait. Don't delay on that. First thing you need to do is get you a Bible and find you a church home. If the church ain't what you like, stay there till God tell you go somewhere else. Don't give up on church and don't give up on God because you didn't like one church. There's literally 1,000. I don't care what city you in. There's 1,000. You can find one. There's one that's tailor-made for you. But allow God to lead you to that, and your life will be totally changed. Man, we thank y'all. Well, before I go, anything you say, bro, I didn't want to cut you off for you.
You didn't cut me off, bro. You flowing.
All right, man. We thank y'all so much for watching this. We don't take it lightly. Thank you for taking your time to enjoy this podcast, man. We came in with the technical difficulties, but hey, it got the rolling. Everything got good. I hope that this helps you, as although I was teaching it, as it helped me. I hope it did the same for you, man. And I pray that it was a blessing to your life. Salute to anybody who watched this, whether you watch it on YouTube or you're listening on audio podcast. Thank you so much. And we'll be back tomorrow with another sports show. Tune in at 6 o'clock. We'll be glad for y'all to join us. And if Rob ain't got nothing else to say, man, I'm C. Micah.
I'm Robert Dean.
We out, man. Thank y'all for watching, man. Be blessed and have a great night. Take life. Take them wherever they go. Take life. 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 Take life